Hello, this is Darian on the D-pad. I'm here with my co-host Luke.
What's up?
We're going to be talking about mediocre releases, and something I've been meaning to get off my chest is I don't think Pokemon is doing so good right now, at the moment.
No, it's kind of not, eh?
I don't know. There's some people that enjoy the new games, like Sun and Moon apparently did pretty well. But if I'm being completely honest, I didn't have a lot of fun with it. It felt very boring, and it didn't feel like any other Pokemon game.
Not like XY or
X and Y,
Alpha Sapphire, and those revamps. Basically were like X and Y, but were revamped with Sapphire and Ruby.
Yeah, it was that. Those are remakes.
But they were good though, because I remember playing Sapphire Ruby on Advanced, and I had a lot of fun playing those games. Replaying it on DS was actually really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the graphical upgrades and stuff make it look really good. So yeah. Speaking of which, I was actually just playing Heart Gold, which is my favorites in the series.
Yeah.
Heart Gold, Soul Silver. Gen 4 was just my favorite in the entire series, because like Diamond, Pearl, Platinum, and Heart Gold, Soul Silver, in my opinion, the perfect amount of Pokemon. The presentation just looked the best with like sprites and stuff.
Yeah, I remember I seen somebody. One of my friends used to have a regular DS and had like a Soul Silver.
Oh, okay.
And like when I seen like the animation with the sprites, I'm like, oh, this is actually really cool. Mm. Found it was cool too. Like the Pokemon like follows you around.
Yeah,
like it's like your companions, like great, like basically whoever's first in your party, like followed you around as like a companion.
Yeah, I love that, and you could like talk to them too and everything, and see what they're thinking. Sometimes they can give you an item or whatever. It's a really cool feature. And those are actually remakes of Gold and Silver back in
Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Game Boy
Color, actually.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a long while ago. And speaking of which, I'm hoping we get some Diamond and Pearl remakes sometime soon for the Switch, because that's my generation. Love that. Speaking of the Switch, recently, Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu released. And it's pretty different from usual Pokemon games.
No, it from what I've like seen and heard, it's almost like Pokemon Go. Like,
yeah, it's got weird Pokemon Go mechanics in it. Like, you don't.
But it's like a regular Pokemon game at the same time. Like, you know, you have that, you roam around a map, and but I seen like the, I guess you call it like the battle sequence or what happens when you try and catch Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that looks very much like Pokemon Go.
Oh yeah, it's. It's made to appeal to people that got into the series through Pokemon Go.
I guess it's really more for the younger audience and younger players, right? It's more simplified and not as complicated.
Mm, more for like casual people, because like they removed a lot of features for it, like for compared to other titles too. Like, first off, back to the whole catching system. Catching Pokemon gets you experience instead of battling wild Pokemon.
Instead of battling, right?
Yeah, which is
like Pokemon Go.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird, but it's, I don't know, it's simple. Speaking of the battle system, though, in that game, there's a ton of things missing. I mean, like, the Pokemon still have four moves and everything, but, like, they don't have held items anymore for some reason.
Okay, so they can't hold, like, buff items or berries and
stuff like that. I don't even think they can have abilities or anything. Like, that's been, like, a staple of the series since Gen 1, and that game's supposed to be replicating Gen 1, the Kanto region, Red and Blue. Or, I mean, I guess in this case, Yellow, since Pikachu and Eevee, but whatever. But, like, why, though? Why is it so simple? I get the appeal, but...
I think that's why, though, they really were like, hey, let's make a game for, like, the younger kids, too. Because, honestly, I don't think, like, a 5- or 10-year-old really is going to go and play, like, a full game like Pokemon. Because, it requires some strategy. Like, you can't just, like, make up a team of, like, just... 6 random Pokemon and like just go. Like some people have like strategy between their parties, their order of like Pokemon, and then like even like the move sets that they use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you mean. There's a lot of people that are more like elite when it comes to Pokemon and stuff.
Like some people like when they have a Charizard, like the average person is just gonna like give it like all like the fire moves, but then like somebody would be smart and be like, oh, I'm gonna give it like Sunny Day plus like this technique, so you can just keep one-shotting like anything basically.
Yeah, give it Sunny Day and then give it like Solar Beam or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Water type and stuff.
Solar Beam,
hit coverage, but like Yeah, I'm a little guilty of that when I was younger. I used to just give my Pokemon attacking moves because all the status moves were, like, nothing to me. Like, if it doesn't hurt, then what's the point of having it?
Then there's, like, you know, using, like, stadium traps where, like, you can't, like, retreat your Pokemon and they use, like, something like Parish Song and it's like, oh, crap.
Oh, no, yeah,
things like
shit.
Then your thing's stuck out there and it's like, it's going to faint no matter what because yeah, you can't return it.
It's like mind games. Yeah, abilities that, like, prevent your Pokemon from, like, leaving the battle or whatever, yep. Or, like, moves like Mean Look and stuff like that.
Yeah exactly.
Terrifying. Yeah, I tried getting into competitive Pokemon with, like, X and Y. I didn't fully understand it back in Gen 5 with Black and White. I did try to make a team for that. I just kind of bundled my strongest Pokemon together and hoped for the best. But, yeah, it didn't really work out.
It does for Elite Four, probably, if anything. But then other than that, when you play other players, like, they got strategy behind, like, their party, and you're like, and you look at, like, their party sometimes, you're like, that's an obscene, like, group you have. But then, like, all of a sudden you see the strategy behind it and you're like, oh, wow, that's actually really cool.
Yeah. Kind of like when you, like, try to get, like cosmetic items that give you, like, stat boosts and stuff, but you don't focus on the actual cosmetics, you focus more on the stats. It makes you look ridiculous, but you take it anyway. Sort of like that. But, yeah. I myself, when I was trying to get into the game back in, like, the competitive scene back in, like, X and Y, I think I had, like, I had to make sure all my Pokemon were different types, first of all, because you need coverage.
Yeah, you don't want to get stuck with one type, and then all of a sudden you're just getting one-shotted off by, like, 31 Pokemon that has that one advantage against basically your whole party.
Yeah, essentially. And because the competitive scene I was going for was the Video Game Championships, which is...
Yeah, VGAs. And
the style of gameplay is doubles. Like, two Pokemon at once.
Yeah. I seen that format. The 2-on-2.
There's a ton of, like, different strategies you can do with that. Like, one of my favorite strategies was I had a Sceptile and either a Raikou or a Manectric. Do you know Raikou?
Yeah.
Yeah, the electric types. Because in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, Sceptile got a Mega Evolution, which allowed it to get the ability Lightning Rod, which boosts its special attack. So what I would do is I would have my Raikou on the side with, I believe it was called a Choice Scarf. It's been a long time. It like, basically, like, amplifies your speed by a lot. Okay. But you can only use one move at a time. Like, one move while it's, like, out. It's, like, locked into that move. So what I did was, I Mega Evolved my Sceptile. I would have my Raikou use Discharge, which attacks all Pokemon on the field, except for, well, him, because he's using it, but... and it would hit my Sceptile, but because my Sceptile had Lightning Rod, it wouldn't get hurt, it would get stat boosts.
Yeah.
And I would just keep doing that over and over and over again, while having Sceptile deal damage, and... Yeah, it was a pretty broken strategy, honestly.
Sounds like a pretty good one.
And then I had some extra Pokemon to, like, back me up, like, I had a Talonflame, which was really broken.
Talonflame's actually really good.
Oh, yeah. He's fast. He's fire type, so he's also got some really strong attacks.
Yep.
It's hidden ability is like Gale Wings or something like that. That allows all its flying type moves to go first, which is absolutely broken. So a lot of people had Talonflames.
I remember that in the meta, like during Alpha, Sapphire,
That generation.
That generation, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people using Talonflame.
Mm-hmm.
Talonflame, and what was the other one you'd always see on someone's team?
I remember... I don't know if it was used often, but I remember Greninja being pretty broken.
Greninja was used, because he had a pretty good ability and attack.
Yeah, Protean or something. Yeah, it's it allows his, like, type to be changed whenever he uses a move. It changes to that type.
Yeah.
Like, let's say he used... I don't remember what was that. X Scissor or something, a bug type move. It would turn to a bug type for that turn. So, it would be really hard to counter that. And my friend had a Greninja, and I had a horrible time trying to counter it. Yeah.
You'd hope to just get the first attack and get, like, the one shot in there, but it's hard because Greninja is just so fast. And
yeah, that too.
The speed just goes over, usually, whatever you're trying to, and whatever is you're trying to attack him with, you can be like, oh, no, I'm just going to use this attack, change its stat. Now,
yeah,
it's either you have no effect on it or minimal, like, effect.
Mm-hmm. It's a mess. Like, you think you, like, finally get it because you have the type advantage, and then he attacks first, and he changes type, and then you're screwed.
It's like, oh, I got a plant electric type. Oh, I'm just going to use a fighting type move on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now my type's fighting. It's like, do you have psychic? I don't think so.
Oh, boy. Now I'm going to be a dark type where psychic does not affect me. Sorry. Yep. Yeah, it was a bit of a mess back in Gen 6, but I still found it really fun. And back to Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, I wish it was still kind of like that. Because, like, now it's extremely simplified, and I honestly don't even know if I'm going to get the game at this point. Like, I've seen people play it, and it does look a decent amount of fun. Like, I will admit, it does look enjoyable, but, like, the stuff that I liked about Pokemon doesn't appear to be in there too much. Sorry.
Yeah, I can understand, like, a lot of like you said, the catching mechanics, battle mechanics, mm-hmm. Held items. Yeah, I can imagine it's like when you're expecting something big and you're just left with like something not finished or like really lackluster or mediocre. Yeah, it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
AKA Fallout 76 right now is,
oh geez, yeah, I've heard
just going
that.
Through the exact same thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I personally haven't played it myself, but like I've been watching streamers like play it, and it's so buggy, it's so glitchy.
Oh geez.
And the other part is, unless other people are playing online with you, it's a very lonely game because like there's no NPCs out in the world. Yeah, which is weird. Usually like a Fallout game is filled with NPCs, like everywhere you can talk to people. Mm-hmm. There's always interesting dialogue and quests that come from it, but they're saying it's really lacking it. And like even just watching the streamers, like I watched a guy walk around for like 10 minutes and not really like encounter anything. And I was
oh my God,
that's not really a Fallout game. Usually every time I played Fallout, like within 5 minutes of walking in the wastes, like you encounter something. It could mm-hmm. be a Yao guy. It could be a Deathclaw, Raiders, yeah. Super Mutants. You know, the one thing I seen him run into a lot was Super Mutants.
Mm-hmm.
But like other than that, like, the game didn't really appeal to me.
Yeah, I can understand.
The way like Fallout 3 and New Vegas did, like those games like really like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my cousin's a big fan of Fallout, and I can see why. It's actually a really cool-looking series, and it's got some good story elements and stuff.
I figure it wasn't doing too great either because, this past weekend was Black Friday, and there was, like, mega sales, like, all over the place on Steam, okay, yeah. On the Xbox Marketplace, mm-hmm. PlayStation Marketplace. And it's one thing I noticed, Fallout, right off the bat, was already, like, at 30% off. Which I was like, wow, they really want people to be buying this game right now, and they're doing mm-hmm. anything so people like could buy it. Whereas like Red Dead Redemption was only like 5 to 10% off.
Oh, geez, okay.
For a game that was like $80, and like it was only like brought down basically to like $70 with like the discount, and it's like, I guess they don't really need to discount that game because yeah. that game is actually doing really well right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like the feedback, and like I actually don't own it, but I got okay. to play it. I got to try it. It's so fun. Like, mm-hmm. it's actually, Rockstar did a really great job on Red Dead 2.
Yeah, it's good to hear. Like
Red Dead 1 was so fun. And then this, it's really cool because it's like, it's set in that like revolutionary time of like the United States. Like, you see the transition like from that old Western cowboy era
okay, yeah.
to the modern day era where there's like electricity, cars, and stuff like that. But they're still like, you know, you're still able to ride on like the horses and like gunslinging and stuff like that. It still holds like that like nostalgic like feel to it, like for the original Red Dead.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So it stays truly the original while still kind of evolving. Yeah,
while evolving, yeah, and also like it's a beautiful game too. Like the landscape, the graphics. Yeah, like you watch it and you're just like, wow, this is like. I get to tip my hat to Rockstar. They do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing I'm waiting for once they finally have that online like up and running like fully, that's when I'm gonna buy the game. Mm-hmm. Because that's mainly why I wanted it. Like oh, okay. same as Grand Theft Auto 5. Like when I bought it, I was hoping like for sure multiplayer was gonna be like ready to go right away, but they're like, you have the campaign right now. Multiplayer is only coming in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, just...
And even when it came out, too, it was buggy and was tons of glitches. And, I remember actually there used to be a glitch where you could just keep reselling your car.
Really?
Yeah, the same car and just be, like, banking, like, crazy money. Jesus. Like, you'd be making, like, $100,000, like, each time you sold the car because you just soup it up with, like, ridiculous stuff. And it was a simple glitch. You go to the garage, you soup it up, and what you would do is you just, like, sell the vehicle, and, like, as soon as you sell it, you walk out of the garage and just log out of your session and log right back in. And anytime you did that, you were logged back into the game with that car. Like, you were sitting inside the car. I guess, like, the server didn't have enough time to, like, process it and save you, like selling the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you'd sell the car and immediately come out, like, you just exit, enter, and, like, boom, you're back with your car and the $100,000 you just made off.
That's crazy.
Selling it. So
heists? Let me just resell my car.
Well, heists didn't exist at the time, too, and that was, like, something they were working on. So it was just, like, the regular missions, you know, do stuff with your buddies, race, and do the, what was the one called again? Where you had to fight off the waves of opponents. What game mode was that called again? That one was good because you got like $10,000 every time like you completed it, and you get like a ton of XP.
Oh, okay.
It was hard though because like you have to like at least fight like 20 waves of like enemies, and like they just gradually get like more and like tougher and better weapons, more body armor, and then they'd be coming in helicopters with like miniguns on it and.
Ew. Was it worth the money then?
It was actually because it was like fun, you know. It was just like you and like three other buddies, just like holding off against like waves and waves of enemies. And there'd be like ammo drops, weapon drops.
Okay, well that's fair. All right.
And we'd always make sure like before we went into it, we like stocked up like on ammo and like all the stuff we needed, the explosives.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we were smart, too, with our rocket launchers, like, save it absolutely for when...
Preserve it, yeah.
Yeah, when, like, there's a helicopter, because, like, that's the only time you really needed it, because those things are so annoying, they'd pick you off as you were trying to, like, just hide and take guys out.
Mm-hmm, I can imagine.
But that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for Red Dead to release their online, and once it's, like, out and running, then I'm taking full advantage.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah. I think Fallout 76, too, is, like... going through, like, I see a very, 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 very similar situation in No Man's Sky.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, it's like
what they were promising and what they released, it's, like, exactly, like, the same situation. Like, Fallout was saying, oh, this is going to be, like, it's going to be a Fallout game, but it's one you can play with your friends, you can do this and that, but to be honest, it's, like, it's the same exact thing. Like, it's not what they promised.
Yeah.
And, like, they, like, watching it, too, and, like, people are exploiting it. The bugs are insane. Like, you'll just be walking, and all of a sudden, like, your character's body disappears, and all you see is, like, hands and a head.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's that buggy.
Jeez, okay, yeah, I can understand the scores now. Yeah, I've...
Yeah, there's bugs like that all over the place, and...
Yeah, I've seen some of the scores, and, one of them,
like
I'm not even
five,
sure.
They're getting, like, fours out of tens.
What I've seen was, like, 46. I don't even know what website I was on. I can't remember. But, like, that's the same score that they gave...
a Sonic game, you were saying.
Sonic 06, yeah. That gem. That's not good for a 2018 game. Like, jeez.
No. A 2018 game. You'd think people, like, would have, like, took cues off, like, some of those older games that, like, came out in recent years that, like, weren't finished and people knew it. It's like... Why are you going to release, like, we understand, like, you have deadlines and stuff like that,
exactly.
But, like, sometimes, like, push it back, you know, if, like, the product's not finished, because, like, there's a lot of people that are, like, not happy with the way, like, Fallout 76 came out, and they're asking for refunds.
Okay, that's understandable.
And Bethesda's not giving the refunds, and now, like, supposedly, like, the FBI is getting involved because, like, yeah, because there's some loophole there that, like, Bethesda's using, like, not to give refunds, but the FBI thinks that they should be refunding, like, people that want their money back, because, like, it's the people are right, you know, like, they want a refund for a game that was not finished.
Yeah, and, like, they should have the right to it, like, it's their purchase, and it's not like they, yeah, it's a game, like, what, how are you, like, going to refuse refunds for that? If they're unsatisfied with the experience that they have the means to refund it, then they should be getting refunds. That's stupid. So this whole thing turned into like a scam sort of thing now?
Not a scam, but it's like just it's not looking good for Bethesda right now. Mm. Like they have to do something quick to like fix this game, or at least like make it complete. Mm. Like do a patch, do something, you know, that's just gonna really at least fix it in the meantime. Mm. Then in the future, like make it more finished, I guess, by adding like DLC and I guess more content to it.
Yeah.
Cause as of right now, yeah, it's a game I wouldn't even consider buying myself.
Understandable. Yeah, that's really sad.
And in terms of Pokemon, I'm pretty sure, like, if I remember right, isn't there an actual like game in like the works, like for the Switch,
Let's Go was first announced, people were like annoyed because they saw the Pokemon Go mechanics and they realized what kind of game this was going to turn out to be, and then because people started thinking that, oh, this is the next generation of Pokemon, this is what we're getting, this is how it's going to be from now on, what the heck, Game Freak decided to make a statement on that and said, wait, hold up, there's another one in the works, we're working on making another main series game like the ones you know, this is just something a little different. But there's another one coming, we don't know what it is yet, they haven't given any other information on it, but Pokemon Let's Go is more like a test run to see like how the Switch works.
That's what it really like seems like to me. It seems like Let's Go Eevee, Let's Go Pikachu is like really just a stepping stone to like what they're trying to probably do. Like let's make this game for like the younger kids, and maybe we can take some of these mechanics that like we've already used and use it as like a base, I guess you could say, and then build on that and like actually make it like the other games we know, like, you know, like the series that have like the two parts, like, you know, Fire Red, Gold, Silver, Platinum, Diamond.
Yeah, because like they haven't really been doing much of that lately. Like there was no Z for X and Y, and
well, everyone thought, yeah, I thought for sure it was going to be like a Z, like, you know how they did like Yellow with like Red, Blue, and then
Gold, Silver, like, Crystal.
Yep,
and then we thought, hey, maybe they're going to do something for Gen 7 then, like Sun, Moon, and maybe like Eclipse or something like that. But no, we got Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which, let's be real, it was basically the same game with like one extra thing.
And just one little extra evolutions. Mm. And
oh, actually, I remember one thing about Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon that was pretty significant. That third legendary Pokemon that is kind of, but not really, one of the mascots of the game.
Okay.
Necrozma, I don't know if you remember him. That's the black prism-looking guy. Yeah. He's like the final boss of the game. I'm not even sure if you can catch him. But like, because they realized, oh, hey, Pokemon is getting too easy for some people. They upped the difficulty by like a ton when they got to him. Like I haven't played Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, so I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure they like gave him a level that was like a lot higher than what you're supposed to be at.
Okay.
First of all, and second, I think they might have made like Ultra Necrozma his like upgraded form or whatever, when like he's fused with both legendary Pokemon. I think they made his like catch rate extremely, extremely low, like more than other legendary Pokemon,
like 0.1%.
Yeah, something like absurd like that. So like
only 1 in 1,000 Pokeballs will work.
Of course, yeah. Like even the Master Ball's chance of failing, I'm not sure. I heard it was like intense to fight him. Like I'm not really sure what they were going for with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Because aside from the whole Necrozma plot, I heard that there was like no difference from Sun and Moon.
No, not really, eh?
No. Hmm. Same story, like same cutscenes for the most part, except for maybe the end. Like most other games in the past are a little bit guilty of this, but not to the point where it's like pretty much the exact same game. Like I remember Platinum had almost not the same story as Diamond and Pearl, but like an improved one. Like they added more depth to it. They added more characters and stuff. Whilst in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, it's like one extra area.
And just one little extra spot, eh?
Yeah, if I think it was like more of a cut content of anything, like from Sun and Moon. Like one extra, like the Ultra Beasts, remember those?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're like one of the big selling points of the game. Like, oh my god, these are Pokemon, but they're not because they're from another dimension or whatever. In Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, you go to that other dimension, at, like I think near the end, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
But I heard it wasn't that eventful, so...
No way.
Yeah, you just kind of go, you're able to catch more Ultra Beasts, but other than that, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember people, like, exclaiming, oh my god, this is so cool, look at this, wow. And I think people were just annoyed that they had to buy the game again. So yeah, hopefully the next Pokemon games in the lineup are more akin to what came before, like... I want to see the whole battle system back. Like, let's go Eevee and Pikachu have a decent one. It's very simplified, but like it's even less advanced than their first generation, right, which is off. Like, no held items, no abilities, like just your moves. Like, what?
Just your moves and your type, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Using water against fire, fire mm-hmm. against grass against water, ground, and mm-hmm. so forth and so on.
Yeah. Also, the fact that it can connect to Pokemon Go is a little weird, but, I mean, it works. It draws people in who have Pokemon Go.
I wonder how that works. I'm going to look that up on YouTube after this.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works exactly. Maybe it's like linking accounts from your Pokemon Go account to, like, your
save file. That's what I'm thinking. You're probably able to like link, like, your trainer and, like, yeah, the Pokemon you already have and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've seen someone play it a bit, and... he tried that feature, and you can just, like, catch the Pokemon. You have to recatch the Pokemon, because, like in most other games where you have to transfer your Pokemon or whatever, you have to, like, recatch them, sort of.
Okay, okay. Still,
I mean, they stopped doing that with, like, the whole Pokemon Bank thing back in X and Y and Sun and Moon. But back in, like, going from Generation 3, Ruby and Sapphire, to Generation 4, like Diamond and Pearl, there's this thing called the Pal Park, where you had to have your GBA, a Game Boy Advance cartridge, in the bottom of the DS, like a DS Lite or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And your Diamond and Pearl cartridge or whatever, the DS slot, so they could interact and you could transfer your Pokemon from the GBA to the DS. But then you had to like actually go into the park and have to recatch the Pokemon, which was odd. And I think it took a long time. I never actually did it myself because I never played any of the GBA games. And then from Gen 4 to Gen 5, they had the Poke Transfer tool, which you could only do post-game, like once you beat Elite 4 and all that. And it was a mini-game, which was still okay, but you had to transfer 6 at a time, which was weird, because then you had to transfer, like, Pidgeys or whatever.
Okay, okay, yeah.
It was a little time-consuming. And the game also was a little, I don't know, tedious, in my opinion. Like, I didn't mind it all that much, because... last time I did it, I was like 12, but still, it was a little tedious. It took some time.
Thank God for a global transfer system, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, that thing was so handy. Like, when I was playing Alpha Sapphire, like, I used that, like, to... Wonder Trade was, like, my thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, when you're training Pokemon and stuff, and, like, you need a place for all these extra Pokemon that didn't hatch with, like, the red stats or whatever.
Yeah.
Wonder Trade's, like, your best friend for that.
Wonder Trade, and then just... hopefully you get like something you want and you go breed something. Hopefully you get the right like ability set and like everything, basically all the stuff you want.
Yeah.
Like I remember I did a wonder trade for, what was it? I traded away a Pidgey and I got back a Greninja. I was like so happy.
Oh geez. That's lucky.
So I was like, yeah, I'm going breed a Froagie right now. And hopefully I get the one I want. And I did, I got like the one I hatched, I was like, that's exactly the Froagie like I wanted, like male with the right ability set. I was like, this game can't get any more better. Like, awesome. It just treated me so good.
Mm-hmm.
That, and when I got a shiny Charmander, that was,
oh, that's really lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, out of like one of my eggs.
Damn.
Like I got just like a Charizard through Wonder Trade, and I was like, all right, sweet, now I can breed like a Charmander right from like the get-go, and hopefully I get like what I wanted, and it ended up being a shiny.
Okay, well, yeah, when you get a shiny, then, like, there's... You're not gonna, like, redo it again. No, if you don't get the right stats. No. Like you're satisfied. Like it's absolutely so rare. So yeah,
especially Charizard. Shiny Charizard is like the best looking like Pokemon ever. Like, oh yeah, that black skin with like the red stomach.
Yeah, the red wings. Yeah, the
red wings.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you go like Ultra like X, like he looks like badass too.
Mm-hmm. Like that, in his normal state, yeah, as a Mega Charizard X, he already looks pretty good. Because he's like black and blue.
Yeah.
Actually,
the Mega Y looks like the best, like as a shiny.
Yeah, he looks badass. I forget what X's shiny is.
He looks like green almost.
Oh
he,
yeah, it's got like a greenish tint.
He still looks like crazy, like badass. But like the Y version is like still way better.
Mm. I'm pretty sure the Y version is more like better competitively too.
It is because when you use Sunny Day with the Y Mega Evolution, you just no matter what, it could even be a water type, and you can still one shot with like Fire Blast or
Solar Beam. Yeah.
Well, you can use Solar Beam also, but like even just using what's his special
Fire
move?
Blast?
Not Fire Blast. He's got his other move there. It's only got like 5 PP, and it's a move you get for going visit the
Wait, when you use it, do you have to take like a turn to like recharge?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Blast Burn.
Blast Burn, yeah. You can one-shot anybody with Blast Burn and Sunny Day with a Mega Charizard Y.
Yeah, because it's got 150 power, so yeah, no kidding.
And then the Overheat ability, like it just gives a significant boost to all like Fire-type moves and...
Oh, Blaze or whatever. Yeah. And also just like this, when you use a Fire-type move as a Fire-type, you get, I think it's called Stab.
Yeah.
Where like it adds to your power, so... Yeah, Charizard was a menace back then. I remember my friend had a Charizard, and he's famous for using his Charizard in doubles all the time.
Yeah.
Because, like, he would pair it with something that wasn't affected by the sun too much. And they were both just sweep our teams, left and right. Like, my whole Sceptile strategy was horrible against it, because...
Well, yeah, it's grass type.
Yeah, exactly. And then, what was it? Even I had a Blastoise at one point, because... I wanted to be able to take down Charizard, but even then, we would always like rival each other, and it was very like hard to face Charizard with the whole drought ability causing the sun and everything, which weakens water type moves. I would try to counter it by using Rain Dance, but like it wouldn't always work because like
I think you just need Kyogre to like try.
Yeah, at that point, like with Drizzle or
just
whatever,
let his natural ability like drown it out, and because it negates Sunny Day too.
Yeah,
his ability. So that's like I think one of the only ways you can negate Mega Charizard Y.
Yeah,
is using Kyogre with his Drizzle ability.
Mm. At the time, we didn't really use like any legendary Pokemon because they were considered like
well, legendary. And, yeah, and competitive. I know you're some competitors. You're only allowed like one like legendary.
Yeah.
Or none at all. Like there's like a total like ban list.
Yeah,
like,
total ban on most.
No Lugias, no Ho-Ohs, no Celebis or Mewtwo's.
And, yeah, like mascot and mythical Pokemon like Lugia, Ho-Oh, Celebi, all of them.
Yeah,
they were flat out like banned because of their stats. But there's some that were allowed. Like I remember seeing Cresselia. You know who Cresselia is?
Yeah, Cresselia. Yeah. You're allowed like Regice, Reg. Those ones.
The usual like regional trio is usually allowed. Like
the cats, the birds.
Yeah. Like I had a Raikou on my team because I knew it was allowed and it was strong. So I figured why not use it. I don't think I had any in X and Y actually. So yeah. Yeah, if I could use like a Kyogre or something else with like Drizzle, I probably would. It would probably help a lot. But yeah, that was a long time ago. So now we have Sun and Moon with a bunch of different stuff going on, like Z moves. I still don't completely understand the use for those. I mean, they're strong and you can only use them once a battle. But like, what if you like whiff it or something? It's a risk. And actually, speaking of which, because they went all out with Mega Evolutions in Gen 6, I remember when X and Y was first... I mean, Sun and Moon was first coming out.
Then it was Alolan.
Huh?
Then it was the Alolan Evolutions.
The Alolan forms, yeah. That was a whole different thing. But yeah, when Sun and Moon was first coming out, I found out that in the competitive scene that I follow, the VGC, the Video Game Championships, because they wanted to put an emphasis on Z moves and all that, they flat out... banned Mega Evolution from the competitive
play. Yeah.
It was, yeah, it was weird. And yeah, I heard the competitive scene for Pokemon in Sun and Moon, which is why I didn't really get involved, was a bit toxic, kind of literally too, since one of the top Pokemon was I forget what, like Marini or something like that. I don't know if you know which one that is. It's I think it was supposed to be like an anemone sort of thing, or like an urchin or something.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like water poison, I think. I don't remember exactly. I never caught one. But it was good for like stalling and just poisoning and just draining your Pokemon's health while staying alive. Probably with like leftovers or something. I'm not sure.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, it was like wall Pokemon like that are really annoying to deal with if they get everything set up. So, yeah. The competitive scene is a bit of a mess. All right. Well, yeah, that's our thoughts on recent games that have been mediocre, or also just Pokemon in general, how it's been going and what we hope for the future. Hope you enjoyed. Tune in next time, and goodbye.